So he's talking about how he actually ended up at Wapapong. He says, but I eventually got to Wapapong and had been accepted and allowed to stay. I just couldn't at first grasp what was so special about Ajahn Chah, which didn't make me exactly popular with some of the foreign monks who were already there and who had developed a strong faith in him. But then, even before I'd begun to fall under his spell, I did catch on to what he had created, a formidable opportunity, a suitable place and supportive environment, equipped with the effective and powerful tool of the bhikkhu life. Now as I'm getting older, I'm anxious to keep alive the example and tradition that he established. What he taught was not just practical, but revolutionary in its impact. He made the whole business of being a monk really work. In many monasteries and temples, as can easily be seen, the disciplines and the traditions are not upheld, and no one seems to care or to see much point in them. Neither the monks there nor the laity seem to grasp how the monastic discipline and traditions relate to practice and development. But Ajahn Chah understood and made it all work. He was, of course, an exemplary character. He was very kind, epitomizing metta, but firm and unyielding in his principles, and he could be very fiery, turning in an instant into the most terrifying species of monk-eating tiger you can imagine. He expected a good and proper standard to be maintained and accepted nothing less. We had to do our best to fit in, but as foreigners from the West, we were often privileged. And certainly he enjoyed our peculiarities and was amused by our clumsiness and mistakes. But still, he was determined to push us and stretch us, and often it felt more like being thrown into the deep end and expected to swim. He was unique. There have been very few teachers of his stature, and very few traditions have had anything like the impact that he had, especially in such a relatively short time.